you have a Bible, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 is where we will be parking it today to see what the Apostle Paul has to say about your weakness. As I was thinking about this message, one of the things that came to my mind is job interviews. How many of you have ever been on a job interview and one of the questions they asked you was, what are your weaknesses? Or what is one of your weaknesses? Raise your hand. All right, a whole lot of you have been on one of those kind of job interviews. And you know, it's even the sort of thing, if you look it up online, they will talk about this and will say, oh, you're probably going to be asked about this, so here are some ways that you can navigate it. Now, some people go towards the funny. You know, what is it that's your greatest weakness? I'm just too punctual. I follow directions too well. I'm too good being supervised. Different things like that. Then some people tend to take it, and they take it in a direction that is very unrelated to their work. Oh, you know what? I'm very sloppy at home. Now at work I'm fine, but at home I'm kind of a sloppy person. So that way they take it and they negate anything that has to do with their work. Now this is interesting because we are a culture that doesn't like to talk a lot about our weaknesses. But what you're going to find in Scripture today is weakness is something that God uses for His glory and for your good. We're going to see that this morning. Now, we're closing out this series today, What God Can Do Through Ordinary You. And one of the reasons why we've been looking at this series is, quite frankly, because we need you to be involved in what God has called you to do. Every person in this room, we need you actively serving how God wants you to in this body. Now, we have some recommendations for you back in the back. As you leave this place, there are some boards up back there that have some ministry opportunities where we currently have vacancies, and we would love for you to get involved and get serving in those areas, because we believe that God has given to everybody a spiritual gift that, when properly deployed, can be used to build up His kingdom right here in Five Forks Baptist Church. Look with me at these verses this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, it is necessary to boast. It is not helpful, but I will move on to visions and revelations of the Lord. You say, wait a minute, if it's not helpful, then why are you moving on to it? You ask yourself that question. Well, what Paul is saying is, it would have the ability to not be helpful for me, but it is helpful for you, so I'm going to share this with you. He says, I know a man in Christ who was caught up into the third heaven 14 years ago. Now, that man in Christ that he's talking about is himself. Okay, but we'll talk about what that means in just a minute. And he says he was caught up to the third heaven. In Jewish thought, there were three different heavens. We actually do the same thing. Heaven number one, the first heaven, is the atmosphere. That's where the birds fly and the planes fly and that sort of thing. Heaven number two, the second heaven, is the universe, the sun, moon, stars, the celestial bodies, the galaxies out there. The third heaven is the abode of God. So when he says, I was caught up to the third heaven, he means I was caught up into the presence of God in heaven in a vision form. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. So he says, I'm not totally sure if this was an experience where my spirit was literally caught up there or if I was just seeing this in a vision. I'm not sure which one of those it was. I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows, was caught up into paradise. He heard inexpressible words which a man is not allowed to speak. By the way, let me just throw this in here, and this is not related to the message so much, but this is a, periodically in American evangelical culture, there are these hot times where you get a lot of books about people who say that they have been to heaven. It's interesting to me that the people in the Bible who actually went to heaven, you practically had to pry it out of them. They were not really engaged in talking about it very openly. But Paul is talking about it right here, but he's very guarded in how he talks about it. He says, I'll boast about this person, but not about myself, except of my weaknesses. He's getting ready to tell you, I guess what you might call the price that he paid for what God showed him. He says, for if I want to boast, I will not be a fool because I'll be telling the truth. But I will spare you so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. He says, listen, I saw this amazing thing. I'm going to spare you a lot of the backstory for it, but, and he's getting to the point that he wants to share with them. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, I am, this is a fascinating word, I am pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in catastrophes, in persecutions, and in pressures. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God loves to use weak people. Everybody has weaknesses. In fact, you have a bundle. Flaws, imperfections, I know you do, I do too. Physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. You might have uncontrollable circumstances that weaken you, maybe a financial kind of a limitation, a relational limitation. The more important issue is not what your limitation is. It's not what your weakness is. It is what you do with it. Usually what we do is we deny our weaknesses, we defend our weaknesses, we excuse our weaknesses, we hide them, we resent them, and that prevents God from using them the way he wants to in your life and in my life. God has different perspectives on your weaknesses than you do. He says, my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways are higher than yours. So he often acts in ways that are the exact opposite of what we expect in how we would act. We think God only wants to use our strengths, but he also wants to use our weaknesses for his honor and glory. Maybe you've sat through this series and you have said during the course of this, I just don't see how God could use me because I have this, because I have that. And the implication is very apparent. The implication is God can use strength, but I don't have strength, I just have weakness. God wants to use that too. He wants to use all of it. The Bible says God purposely chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. Your weaknesses are not an accident. God deliberately allowed them to come into your life for the purpose of demonstrating his power through you. That's what the Apostle Paul's telling you in this passage of Scripture. God has never been impressed with strength and self-sufficiency out of his creation. As a matter of fact, he is drawn to people who are weak and who admit it. Jesus, when he begins the Beatitudes, has that beautiful phrase, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Bible is full of examples of how God loves to use imperfect, ordinary people to do extraordinary things with them in spite of their weaknesses. Y'all, if God only used perfect people, nothing would ever get done because nobody is flawless. God uses imperfect people, and that's encouraging news to me. I don't know about you, but it's encouraging to me. Paul got this weakness, this thorn that he called it. Now, make sure you understand, it's not a sin or a vice or a character flaw. It's not something about you that you can change, okay? It's not gonna be something where you actually are commanded to turn away from something. That's not a flaw. That's not the weakness. That's sin, and it needs to be turned from and repented of. A weakness is a limitation, maybe that you inherited, that you have no power to change. It might be physical, like a handicap. It might be a chronic illness. It might be naturally low energy. It might be a disability, anything like that. It might be some emotional limitation, some sort of a difficult memory in your past, a personality quirk in your life, a hereditary disposition, how you have reacted. Or it might be a talent or an intellectual limitation. Not every person on the planet is the smartest person on the planet. Not every person on the planet is the most talented person on the planet at any given thing. When you think of the limitation in your life, you might be tempted to say, God can never use me because of that. But God wants to use you. He enjoys putting his great power into ordinary containers. The Bible talks about it like jars of clay. We are jars of clay that he fills up with his power. Like common pottery, we are flawed, we break easy, but God will use us as long as we allow him to work through our weaknesses. For that to happen, you got to follow Paul's model. I want you to see four things about your weakness today. You've got some notes in your notes page. The first thing you want to do to gain strength for service, you have to admit your weakness. You have to admit it. He says, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times to take it away from me. Paul owns up to it. Own up to your imperfections. Stop pretending like you have it all together and be honest about yourself. Instead of living in denial, instead of making all these excuses, take time to identify your personal weaknesses. You might even make a list of them. Two great confessions in the New Testament illustrate what we need to live the way God wants us to live. The first one comes from Peter, when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The second one comes from Paul, when he says to an idolizing crowd that wanted to worship him, "We are only human beings like you." If you want God to really use you, then God has to reveal to you who you really are. A lot of Christians, and especially leaders, maybe you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, or pastors fall into this as well, we forget the second truth, that we are only human. If it takes a crisis to get us to admit that, God will use a crisis because he loves you enough to help you to admit your weaknesses. Second thing, though, you need to accept your weakness. Now, this is interesting because the very last part of the text we just read, Paul says, I asked the Lord three different times to get rid of this thing for me, whatever this was. Now, a lot of scholars believe this had something to do with Paul's eyesight. There are a few things in the letters that Paul wrote that give us an indication he could not see well. And so there are a lot of scholars who believe that the thorn in the flesh Paul's talking about was a cataract sort of a thing, or an inability to see the way he needed to. But Paul, after he had gone through a period of saying, God, I know I've got this weakness, but it would be so great if you would take it away from me. Paul grew in that area beyond that. And then he says, therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. I am pleased in weaknesses, he says. At first, that doesn't make sense to us. We want to be freed from our weaknesses. We don't want to be content with them. We absolutely don't want to be pleased in them. But Paul says, God, I believe you love me and you know what is best for me, and so I will even glory in that. Paul gives us a few different reasons to be content with that inborn weakness. First of all, he says, it causes us to depend on God. He says, I am quite happy about this. I am pleased in this. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The less I have, the more I depend on Him. Whenever you feel weak, God is reminding you to depend on Him. So how does this play into your service for Him? Well, maybe you've thought about signing up for one of these things that we have back in the back, one of these ministry opportunities, but you say, you know what? I just don't feel like I have the ability to do that. If you feel like God is calling you to do that, but you say, you know, I don't know if I have the ability to do that, you step out in faith and see if God doesn't use that weakness in your life for His power to shine through you. Our weaknesses also prevent arrogance in our lives. They keep us humble. Paul says, that's the whole reason I was given this thing, so that I wouldn't get the big head, so that I wouldn't be an arrogant braggart who went around talking about the trip I made to heaven and back. Because of this, God gave me a weakness. A limitation can act as a governor that keeps us from going too fast or too slow for God. Our weaknesses also encourage fellowship between believers. It makes me need you. It makes me need you the way you need me, because none of us has every spiritual gift. None of us has the ability to do it all ourselves. And most of all, our weaknesses increase our capacity for sympathy and for ministry. We are far more likely to be compassionate if you and I know that we're not perfect either. That perfection eludes us, so it eludes somebody else too. Hudson Taylor had a great quote. He said, all God's giants were weak people. Moses' weakness was his temper. It caused him to murder an Egyptian, strike a rock when he was supposed to speak to it, break the tablets of the Ten Commandments. But God transformed Moses into the humblest man on earth. The Bible tells us. Now, when Moses murdered and when Moses struck the rock, were those sinful, wrong actions? Yes, they were. They were provoked at their heart by a temper. And so that is the root thorn that God dealt with in Moses' life. Gideon's weakness. He had this deep insecurity and this desire to always, it seems like, look at the glass is half empty. You know, it was kind of that idea. Abraham's weakness was fear. Not once, but twice, he says that his wife is his sister to protect himself. But God transformed Abraham into the father of the faithful. You can go on and on and on. If you go to Hebrews 11 and look at that list of faithful people, you're going to see people who have weaknesses. So you need to be able to admit your weakness, to accept your weakness. Third, you need to announce your weakness. Announce it. Now, we're not going to have a time in the service where you can come up here and tell us what it is, but ministry begins with vulnerability. The more you let down your guard, the more you take off your mask, the more you share your struggles, the more God will be able to use those in serving other people. Paul did this. If you look at Paul's letters, he says, when I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. He tells you about that. He says, I have told you all my feelings. He says, we were crushed and completely overwhelmed. We despaired even for life, he says in 2 Corinthians 1. He says, we thought we were absolutely dead. 1 Corinthians, he says, when I came to you, I was weak and fearful and trembling. Now, it's risky. It's risky, especially in today's society, where people want to take your weakness and use it to crush you or to cancel you. But the benefits in a church body are worth the risk. God gives grace to the humble. Humility isn't putting yourself down. It's not denying your strength. It's just being honest about your weakness. We need to announce it. At some point in your life, you're going to have to decide whether or not you want to impress people or whether you want to influence people. If you want to impress them, don't admit to ever having any weakness or failure. But if you want to influence them, that's when they're able to see your flaws and to recognize that God is good and working in you in spite of that. Not by pretending to be perfect, but by being honest. Announce your weakness. Fourth, Paul even goes so far as to say, admire your weakness. Admire it. He says, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses. So it's not just like he's admitting them. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe when you were a kid and you had to admit to your parents something wrong that you did? You want to get it out as quick as possible and be done with it. Yes, I broke the vase. Okay, it was me. And then you want to be finished with that conversation as soon as possible. Paul says, I'm going to boast about it. Listen, if you want me to go on about my weakness, I am happy to do that because I want to talk to you about this. Instead of posing as being self-confident and invincible, Paul saw himself as a trophy of God's grace. He says, my weakness, I'm going to admire it because it points to Jesus. It shows people Jesus in my life. And so because my life is designed to point to Jesus, I'll use even my weakness to do that. God turns a strength sometimes into a weakness in order to get us to trust him more. Jacob, I was thinking about this week. Jacob was a manipulator his entire life in the Old Testament in Genesis. He spent his life scheming. And what he would do is Jacob would scheme and then he would run away from the consequences. You saw this over and over and over again in Jacob's life. Scheming and then running away from the consequences. One night he wrestled with God and he says, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Now, I don't know if you know this story or not, but God does something really unusual here. Because your thought is, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, so therefore God's going to give him a big blessing. What God does is God grabs his thigh and messes with the strongest muscle in your body, which is that thigh muscle, and gives him a permanent limp. You say, wow, maybe I need to not ask God to bless me if that's what's going to happen. But you know what God did? God took a man who schemed and ran away from the consequences every single time, and he gave him the inability to run away from the consequences. Jacob walked with a limp the rest of his life. He couldn't run away anymore. And God gave him a huge blessing in that. By having to deal with the issues in his life without running away to escape them all the time, God gave him a tremendous blessing. It may not have been the blessing he thought it was going to be, but it was the blessing he needed. If you want God to bless you, if you want God to use you greatly, don't be surprised if you walk with a limp the rest of your life, because God has taken your weakness and used it as a blessing in your life. That's what he wants to do with you, and that's what he wants to do with me. If you want strength for service, remember, in the midst of desiring strength, God only uses weak people. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me take a moment and pray for you. Father, I pray during this time, the time we call the invitation, that you will move in our hearts exactly as you would see fit. You will give us the grace to step out in obedience to you, whatever you're calling us to do or whoever you're calling us to be, that we will say, yes, I'll do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay seated for just a moment. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus, or you're watching on video and you don't know Jesus, then I want to encourage you today, you can come to faith in Jesus. We've talked primarily to those who already know Jesus today, but there is no admitting of your weakness, admiring of your weakness, accepting your weakness. None of that can happen in a way that will point to Jesus unless you know Jesus. None of that will happen in a way that's beneficial to you unless you know Jesus. So today, if you do not know Jesus, you can call out to him in prayer. Prayer is just talking to God, asking him to work in your life. He's already done the work. The work's already completed. Just asking him to bring it to bear in your life. You can just pray. If you want to know Jesus, right where you're sitting, living room, dining room, cubicle at work, you can just pray and say, "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that my sin separates me from you. I know you died for my sin and proved you were God by rising from the dead on the third day. I now ask you to forgive me of my sin and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen." And if you prayed that prayer today and you meant it in your heart, Jesus has promised that he'll save you. I want to encourage you, if you're watching via video, to reach out to me at tim@fiveforks.org, and I would love to follow up with you and to rejoice in what God is doing in your life. Now, those of you who are in the room today, maybe you prayed that prayer and you just want to come and you just want to say, "You know what? I prayed that prayer and I need to follow Jesus now." And we would love to give you some material that can help you, a follow-up material, because we want you to grow in your newfound faith. Maybe there's another need in your life. Maybe you're a Christian and you say, "You know what? I just need to come. I don't even know what my weakness is because I've been running from it for so long that I've never even taken time to examine it. And I need to start that prayer process and say, 'God, what is my weakness?'" Maybe there's another need in your life. Maybe you need to join this church. Make it your place of ministry involvement. Because if you're going to minister, you need to be a member. So I want to encourage you to come and to say, "Yes, I want to make this my place of ministry involvement." Whatever that need is in your life, if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, we're going to stand. And as we do, and as we sing, if he's speaking to you, don't wait for somebody else. You come right now. Let's sing.